People always ask me, are you an extrovert or an introvert? Actually, I'm a pervert.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
If you're ever in that situation, you need to have a line ready to go. And that nine needs to include what kind of car you look like and what kind of car you fuck like. So for me, I would say my old Honda Accord is what I look like. And for me, I would say I also fuck like my old Honda Accord.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
2:30 in the morning!
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green, and this is the notorious K.I.G. Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there on the podcast.
K.I.G.
K.I.G. Kitty cat in charge. K.I.C. That's what I said, actually. Did I say G or did I say C? I can't remember.
It threw me off.
You're the kitty cat in charge here. Yeah. How's your sex life? How's your sex life with Jeff? How are you guys doing over there? I need a check-in. I need a check-in from the cameras that I pretend are at your house.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing over there? Romping and rolling? Well, he's doing a lot of traveling right now.
Yes. Yeah.
So what is it? So are you guys doing like sex messages and stuff? Like, hey, tit pic. Or, hey, dick pic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. Tell Jeff to forward me Jeff's dick pics. I just want to see what's doing over there.
Okay.
I got to compare. I got to compare. I want to see what's going on with Jeff. I want to see what he's working with.
Jeff.
It's all for the show. Jeff's like, I swear to God, talks about my dick one more time. We're going to have a tough conversation in this house about who actually makes money and who doesn't. In that size competition, I promise you, I'm not winning. That's okay, though. Never been particularly good with business, and here I am today. You know, it was funny because Odyssey is our network.
Yes.
And, you know, we've said a lot on, we always talk about how we're broke as a joke and all this other stuff. And that is true. I'm not exaggerating in any way, shape or form about that. But, you know, we've had a couple of podcast networks now and they've all been wonderful in their own way. But Odyssey really has been good to us. It's an
upper echelon.
Yeah. They're a big company and they know how to, you know, they really know how to tackle things in general, like business. They get the business right. They got stuff and things that I like.
They're professionals.
They are professionals through and through. Uh-huh. So the other day I get onto a sales phone call. It's like a meet and greet. It's like, hey, how you doing? And, you know, how's everything going? And here's the sales team that's out there trying to get people to jump on your podcast. Here's the people who are mysteriously slipping in the commercial break onto invoices. Right. Hey, what's
bundling.
This?
Bundling.
Yeah. Bundling, that's right. Save 30% or more when you bundle. The 30% you save is the commercial break.
Hey, it's Ginny over here at the podcast agency. I'm just reviewing these last Q1 invoices, and I see something called TCB, minus $1,000. What does that mean?
Means we're giving you a discount for running on the commercial break.
Yeah, I think we'll save the discount. Go ahead, charge us full if you could take us off that. We'd appreciate it.
But there are, like, number 3 comedy podcast in Atlanta.
Yeah, we're really not.
We're not interested.
We're not interested. Yeah. Thanks, though. As a matter of fact, pull all our business. If they're on your network, just go ahead and pull all the business.
So great, great group of people. But the question is, like, it's a meet and greet. So it's like, hey, how did you and Chrissy meet and become a podcast? And so then I got to go through the embarrassing conversation about how we met at your competitor. And so I have this really boneheaded line that I say, and it's been with me all weekend. I swear to God, it has been. I said, you know, I got into radio because I wanted to be in radio, not because I wanted to do radio sales. And then I realized I'm sitting in front of like 30 radio salespeople.
Oh,
that's not how I meant it. You know what I meant. So I said, because I'm not good at radio sales, you know? But I just felt like all weekend, I was like, God, Brian, you know, if there's an open mouth, you sure do know how to stick a foot in it. I mean, honestly.
I didn't want to get into radio.
Yeah. But they were great because they're really good to us and they're really smart about how they go about selling the show, which don't mention the commercial break. Just,
like I said, bundle it.
Just say, we got a great comedy podcast. Yeah. It's comedy. It's crap comedy. It's comedy.
Cromedy.
Yeah, they have a whole new way of doing things. They've got a new Apple category called cromedy, and it's just got the commercial break in. Crappy comedy.
We're at the top of that chart.
We're at the top of the cromedy chart. Cromedy podcast chart. And we have been for years. I will have you know. So then I say this. And this is something that is true. I'll share this with you. So I say, what is the podcast all about?
Oh,
that's a
gosh.
Pretty typical question and a very difficult one to answer.
It is, yeah.
I don't know, mountain monsters, Teresa Caputo, Brian washing his ass, you know, leg soap. I don't know what it's
Chrissy
about.
Chrissy and Jeff's sex life.
Chrissy and Jeff's sex life. I'm not even sure. But I did get an interesting text message from someone months ago, probably late last year. And they said, you know, I've come to realize that your show at the end of the day is really about friendship, and that's why I like it. It's about friendship. It's like me and my friends sitting around shooting the shit, and it reminds me of that, and that's why I like it. I feel like you're my friend, and we're just having a rap about whatever. And that's how friendship goes.
It is, yeah.
You just sit down, you have a beer, whatever it is you like to do. Beer, an eight ball
catch
of cocaine,
up on life.
Heroin. Right. Yeah, and then you just... Then you just have a ketchup, a quick ketchup, while you're nodding out, or your nose is bleeding, whatever it is, you know.
Whatever.
Yeah. And
it is
so I repeated this. So I've started to tell people that the show is just about friendship. That's mm-hmm. really what it's about. It's about Chrissy and I's friendship, and as weird as it may be, and the stories that we have. And then I said, then I go, you know, it's about whatever you want to talk about, weird internet oddities, you know, timely topical stuff, news articles, things you did in the past, that one time you threw up in the garbage can. And then I go, don't pretend you didn't throw up in the garbage can because you work in radio and I know you did. And everybody was like, swear to God, it was like this.
Crickets. Oh, yeah.
So anyway, so you probably won't be hearing many sponsors in the show from now on, but I just wanted to thank you for your patience.
I wonder if we were on like the kind of the tail end of the wild and crazy radio sales partying. Do you think so?
I think that in any industry where there are, you know, people 20 to 60, where there's close, intense working going on, especially mm-hmm. in sales, there's always going to be that bit of, I have to let loose.
The pressure.
Yeah, the pressure, it builds and it's got to let loose somewhere. And mm-hmm. I think that lets loose when you go out at night.
At a bar.
Yeah, at a bar, you know, three in the afternoon on a Monday.
Exactly.
I don't know if it's anything like where we worked. You know, 1 p.m. on a Sunday, we'd all be in the office, but just because someone happened to get a gram of cocaine. Rochambeau, buddy, Rochambeau. I do think that to a certain degree, I think everybody has experienced this in some way, shape, or form. If you've been in an office environment or a restaurant or a place where you work closely with other people, if you're the social type, mm-hmm. you want to get out there and talk about the manager that sucks. And
you kind of have to be the social type to be in sales.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Well, I don't know. We worked with. I think they were in the social type, like, you know, let me go meet somebody I can chop up and bury in my basement later.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you remember? I'm not going to say the name, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I did end up liking him. But do you remember the older, weird gentleman mm-hmm. that we worked with mm-hmm. that had all the strip clubs as
yes.
his? Okay. And
as his clients.
As clients.
Yeah.
And he loved me and I loved him eventually. But at first, I didn't know how to take him because he was really an odd
yeah.
character. Very odd. He had weird mannerisms. He spoke in a weird way. And he would come in and be like, ah, 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 he would like twitch and he'd be
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I never formed a close yeah. bond with him.
He'd be like, hey, the purple elephant wants $50,000 worth of advertising on the internet. Like, what can you put together? And I was like, I don't know. I don't even know what we're selling yeah. yet. So never.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, what are we doing here? I thought I was going to be on radio. So sure. Take that $50,000, put that on the projection, double it and put it on the projection.
Exactly.
So the first time the first time he invited me out, he invited me to the Purple Elephant or whatever it was, right? Let's go to the Purple Elephant. They're my client. They'll take care of us. My wife and I go there all the time. I thought to myself, well, that's pretty liberal relationship. Good for you. He's an older gentleman. He's probably in his like late 50s when we knew him. And he had been in radio. He was the one who would tell us the stories.
Yeah.
That there was a fax machine at some point in the 90s. There was a, I keep on throwing my pen across the room and I really don't know why. It's like I have tardive dyskinesia or something.
Yeah, there was a fax machine where orders would just flow through. The money was flowing.
Yes. He said there was a time when he would get there at 9 a.m., there would be orders already on the fax machine and it would not stop rolling. Yeah. People would just be faxing in, you know, PO after PO. And he also said
those
there was,
were the, they we would, missed those
yeah,
days.
We missed those days. We missed those days. And now we had to beg people to advertise on this medium. So he invites me and I said yes. And I don't think you and I were quite like BFFs yet.
Right.
Because I'm sure you would have been there with me. Had you been? I actually think I was still married at the time. And he said, come with me. It's going to be a fun time. So I talked to my wife, who had also, ex-wife, who had also at the time been to strip clubs with me. Yeah. And I said, hey, let's go to the Purple Elephant. This guy's got like a, you know, VIP treatment, the whole nine yards. And for whatever reason, she was like, no, I don't want to go. Probably because she was with a divorce attorney planning the paperwork.
I can't make it.
Can't make it. Got to sign the divorce paperwork. Don't worry. I'll send it to you just as soon as I can. Yeah. Okay. I go. I show up, no shit, VIP treatment. He's in the VIP booth. All the girls are around. Drinks are flowing. The whole shebang. So I thought to myself, wow, he was not lying. Yeah, wow. I've never been treated. The last time I had this many people around me at a strip club, I was getting thrown out.
Right, so yeah, the change.
That's right, because of the change that my friend threw on the stage. So I got excited. And I'm sitting there, and I'm with him and his wife, and everyone, you know, the girls are dancing, and they're dancing with his wife, and they're dancing with him, even though that was a weird, you know, as a weird thing to think about in your mind if you knew who this guy was. But anyway, he's having a
And this is at 3 on a Monday, right?
Yeah, this is like noon on a Thursday. Yeah. Not even kidding. It's like lunch hour, and that's why everybody's getting the royal treatment, but it doesn't matter what time you go to a strip club, there's always people in there, at least in Atlanta, at least in my experience.
For sure.
So we're all sitting around, and then I get the weirdest request that I had heard up until that point regarding my sex life. He said, you know, me and my wife are swingers. Oh. And I was like, oh, no, 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 no. In my mind, it's like, abort, abort, right. Abort, exactly. Abort. That's what's going on in my mind. I'm like, oh, no. But I said politely, hey, thanks anyway.
Well, did he?
I'm married.
Did he say, would you like to join us?
He didn't have to say it.
It was
because,
implied.
Yeah, in the declarative sentence was also a question you just had to read between the lines, or at least that's where my mind went. And so I use my wife as a convenient excuse. First of all, no fucking way. I mean, there's just no fucking way. We are all getting older. We're all going to be there at some point. But this was not the point at which I needed to go there.
Right.
Right.
Take the next step.
I am not in the, what's that place down in Florida that we're going to go retire? The Villages. I am not in the Villages quite yet. So I say, hey, thanks, man, but I'm married and that's not in the program. Like, at least it wasn't in my program.
Yeah.
At least I wasn't aware it was in the program at the time.
Yeah.
So I said no. And so afternoon goes on. Now we're like shift change, 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Now I'm nice and saucy, right?
Of course.
And all of a sudden, his wife, like we were sitting next to each other at the table, girls dancing. And while this girl was dancing in front of me, I'm not a huge lap dance guy. Like, you know, I don't need you to get on my lap and everything. I'm not sure if you wash your legs or not. So, but the wife starts sliding her hand into my inner thigh.
Oh.
And for the first time and the last time, because now I'm at an age where I would welcome that kind of attention. But I took my hand and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And she leans over. And she says this, I may not look like a Cadillac, but I fuck like a Ford Ranger. And I had no idea what that meant. None. It made no sense.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget the line, and I'll never forget how quickly I asked if I had a tab, if I needed to pay it. I excused myself from the glitter-soaked, wonderfully smelling woman that was in front of me, and I left the building. And I was so, I remember, I got a cab. Like, I left my car there, and I had to get my ex-wife to, I think my ex-wife drove me the next day. Or maybe, I don't, maybe it was you. Maybe I don't even know. Yeah. But it was the weirdest. I may not look like a Cadillac, but I fuck like a Ford Ranger.
Okay.
If you were,
like power? Is that what that meant?
Like power, eight cylinders, all-wheel drive, comfort
back
seats.
Back the truck up.
Yeah, massaging seats. Yeah. Meh, meh. Chrissy, I'm telling you, I don't know. If you were a car, what would you fuck like? That's the question. Here's the question I pose to everybody out there. If you were a car, what would you fuck like? Because you need to apparently have that line ready if you're ever a swinger. Yeah, for sure. Unfortunately, I wasn't a swinger. I missed that one. That's another one. Remember telling the chiropractor story about how I was in a room full of crystal meth smoking chiropractors who were very attractive? And they were like, hey, get in on this action. Like, all of a sudden, the women were nude and I was... And the guys were looking at me, and they were like, hey, you want to hit this pipe and then get, you want to hit this pipe and then lay some pipe? What are you thinking? Hit this pipe, lay some pipe.
How's that sound?
I'll suck some pipe. What do you think? How are you thinking? What are you thinking? And I was like, I'll pass. But do you have any cocaine?
But looking back, we discussed this. Looking back, you might should have just gone ahead and gone for
looking
it.
Looking back, I think that might have been the one op, not the one, but that might have been the orgy that I could have taken part in. And I didn't, and maybe I should have. I'm not saying I should have. I'm saying maybe I should have.
Maybe.
If I had been more clear-headed or wasn't at the age where I was scared of pussy, maybe I would have gone for it.
Yeah.
But at that time, I was scared. That's just the reality. Exactly. I was just scared. I was scared of what was going to come. And was I going to come? And was he going to come? And where was his cum going to be around me? Those were all the questions running through my mind.
Of course, yeah.
But... if you're ever in that situation, you need to have a line ready to go. Mm. And that nine needs to include what kind of car you look like and what kind of car you fuck like.
Mm.
So for me, I would say my old Honda Accord is what I look like. And for me, I would say I also fuck like my old Honda Accord.
With a bashed door.
Yes, with no left-hand side of the car. The driver's side just completely gone. I literally would drive and there would be no door. I'd be like, hey.
Speaking of, I remember I had bashed my side of my car too.
Oh.
Remember?
Yes, I did.
And I did that pulling into work at the radio station.
Well, to be fair, that was the most ridiculous parking lot I've ever been in my entire life.
Sharp turn around this
big
pole.
Yeah, like the foundation post. It was underneath the building.
I cut it too close.
I know.
You're like, oh no.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not as bad as it sounded, but it was.
Listen, they had a lot of parking in there. There were probably like, I don't know, 250 spaces, plenty for everybody, but they were all bicycle parking spaces. It was like being in Spain. I had a Honda Accord and I couldn't fit into it.
It's crazy.
It was crazy. All right, more talk about car fucking to come.
I'm going to think about that.
Yeah, think about it and let us know when we get back from the break.
Okay.
We'll be back.
Well, thank the baby Jesus. Brian took a breath, and now I will use this opportunity to let you know that we've got a brand new phone number. That's right, it's 212-433-3TCB. And you can text us anytime you want. Or you can call and leave us a voicemail, and we might just use your message on the show. Once Brian gets through all the messages he missed last year, of course. Anyway, you can also find and DM us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. And of course, all of our audio and video is easily found on tcbpodcast.com. Now I'm going to thank G one more time that we have sponsors. So thank G, and here they are.
All right, what kind of car are you in? What kind of car would you fuck? what kind of car do you look like? What kind of car?
I don't know. Would you fuck like? I don't know about the look like part, but I feel like a Jaguar is maybe somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Smooth.
You break down a lot, but it's smooth driving. Smooth driving when you get out of the shop.
That's right. I purr.
Ooh, you purr. Wow. My aunt, my deceased aunt, who I loved very much, Aunt Sandy. Aunt Sandy was a kabillionaire in my mind. And Aunt Sandy made a lot of money in her lifetime. She lost a lot of money in her lifetime. She was one of these that risked, risk was an adrenaline rush for her. I believe this is my take on it now that there many years have passed. She would risk everything and she won a lot. She won a lot. She had a huge pharmaceutical company, like all this different stuff for my Aunt Sandy. But she also lost a lot. She had some issues with, I'm not going to get into all the details, but she had some issues. She lost a lot of money. She was gay. She had a girlfriend that I also loved, was part of the family, that no one acknowledged. No one acknowledged that this woman she lived with for the entirety of my time alive was her actual partner. No one, because that's so the kind of family I grew up in. A Catholic family that just ignored the fact that every time we went over to Aunt Sandy's for a party, this woman who had lived with her for 20 years in the same house was her roommate, quote unquote.
Right.
Maybe they just didn't want to have to explain it to the children. I'm not sure. But at the end of the day, I knew the gig from the moment that I was able to understand what was going on. I remember knowing in my mind, those two are together, and good for them. Never cared one bit. I loved, loved, loved my Aunt Sandy and her partner, for that matter, still alive. So I won't mention her by name. But here's the thing. Aunt Sandy used to shower us with attention, love, and gifts.
Oh, yeah.
One time for our birthday.
That's
for
what
Kevin
the aunt does.
Yes. One time for our birthday, Aunt Sandy came to the house in Chicago, and she looked at Kevin and I, and she says, "Toys R Us. Let's go."
That's fun.
Anything you want.
Ooh,
anything you want. Now, I believe
that's
my
so exciting as a kid.
My mother was with us, and so she limited, like, we remember, I forget the show, but there was a show in Nickelodeon where if you won, you could run through the Toys R Us and grab whatever you could into a cart.
Yes.
This is what happened to us for real because of Aunt Sandy. But it was only one cart, right? I really wanted to get everything, but anyway. Sandy always had a Jaguar. Always, always, always had a Jaguar, as did my grandfather. He had a Jaguar, too. They drove Jaguars. Even when probably they couldn't afford to, they drove Jaguars. But let me back up for a second. So I will always be a Jaguar fan. Yeah. It's imprinted in my head, in my brain, in my mind. I have a Jaguar dealership like a couple miles from my house. I love the Jaguar.
I know. I love those older ones too, you know.
Oh, all like of them.
All of them.
The ones
really,
from the 80s and the 70s. They're beautiful cars. And now they're beautiful cars again. But my aunt always was complaining about how much that Jaguar
broke
was in
down.
The shop. Always complaining about it. Every other week that Jaguar went into the fucking shop. And so I don't know. Why can't they get that right? You would think if you spend $100,000 on a car that you'd get it right.
Yeah.
You'd figure it out. And that's always made me shy away from buying a Jaguar. That and because I could never afford one.
Right.
I would walk into the dealership. Yeah. They probably have a, you know, like one of those Chinese surveillance detection systems. It would be like
facial recognition.
Yeah.
Facial.
317 credit. Not a Jaguar owner. It's like a club you have to belong to own a Jaguar. But I do love those cars because of Aunt Sandy, and I really wish that I could afford to have one.
Maybe one day.
But then you have to afford to be able to maintain them, too. That's the other thing, is that if they really are in the shop. And I do remember both my grandfather and my aunt complaining a lot about how much those cars were.
Maybe
were
they've
in the
improved
shop.
Now.
You have to imagine. And I don't see a lot of them on the road. You know,
I was just
thinking about this about Atlanta. Atlanta is a Mercedes town. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a fucking Mercedes. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you can afford to have a Mercedes or not.
Well, they moved their headquarters here.
They did. Their USA headquarters are here in Atlanta. And so, therefore, they put a lot of newly used, I say newly used, right? Newly used, meaning the people who work at the headquarters. Mm-hmm. They're always turning in the cars before 10,000 miles, so you can get a good deal. And I think that Atlanta, because of the big RBM dealerships that we have here, has really papered the streets with a lot of Mercedes. But I was thinking about this the other day. I was at the Little and walking through the shop. I probably counted, just out of curiosity, counted 13 Mercedes-Benz in the Little shopping.
Wow.
In the parking lot.
Yeah.
Well, it's a Little. You know what I'm saying? It's like known for discount foods. And everybody is driving a Mercedes because this is a Mercedes town. It's Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We have the USA headquarters here. We have three really large dealerships that pump out vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe I don't see as many Jaguars as other places do, but I don't see a lot of them on the road.
Yeah.
I really don't. And, you know, if you want to give us one, I'll be happy to take it for a ride.
Absolutely.
I always thought, and one of the questions too that the salespeople will often ask you is, what do you think are the best brands to buddy up to your show? And I'm always going like, you know, Walmart, sweatpants. Yeah, Walmart, sweatpants, and Little. But maybe I should aim higher. Jaguar.
Yes.
Jaguar.
Why Brian 3000?
That is the perfect. If there was ever, ever a sponsor that would be good on our show, Why Brian 3000?
It's the gas station erectile pills.
Yes, that's right.
Are you having trouble getting a boner and keeping it up? Don't worry, so are we. That's why we use Why Brian 3000, made with bull semen, taurine, Red Bull, and pure cocaine. You'll have a boner for days. Are you ready to fuck your brains out? Literally out of your head? Get Why Brian 3000, now available in cherry flavor. Let her suck your dick. She'll get hard too. You'll both be hard for weeks. Why Brian 3000, the Ford Ranger of boner medications.
Yes. Oh, yeah, the Ford Ranger.
You like fucking men? That's okay, too. You'll both be so hard. You'll be spinning on each other's asses. Don't worry, it'll be fun. Why Brian 3000 has not been tested on anybody but monkeys. Those monkeys died. Please check with your doctor before you using Why Brian 3000. Why Brian 3000 class action lawsuit is now closed. You can't get any money from us. Why Brian 3000 being pulled off shelves everywhere. Please buy quickly.
Yes, that is the perfect fit for our show.
Pun intended. pun intended.
What did you say?
What did I say?
When they asked what...
I left. I left. I just left.
You left the sales meeting?
Oh, no. I thought you were talking about when she asked me if I... When she was like giving me this whole thing in my ear. Back to the strip club story.
No. I was thinking about the advertising.
Now, that's a problem with ADHD. You can't remember the first or last thing you said. I said lots of things.
I like that you just left the conversation. What brands do you think would be good for commercial break? Yeah. Gotta go.
Why Brian 3000? See you later. Zoom over. End meeting for all.
End meeting for all. See you later. I basically said anyone who's willing to be on the show.
We're not picky.
No. I said, you know, I felt, I don't want to name the brands here because, you know, whatever. We may or may not be in conversation with them about sponsoring the show. But, you know, I said nice things about certain brands and then I said other things about other brands. That's what I said.
Okay.
I did share with them that, I'm not even going to say, I don't want to get into it. Will this leave this conversation?
End meeting
for all. Leave meeting, end for all. Quickly. That's probably what the guy who brought me onto the conversation wanted to do. The second I opened my mouth, he's probably like, end meeting for all.
Okay, but going back to the strip club talk, how was that then the next time you saw this gentleman?
Well, the funny thing about this gentleman is that he was just odd enough that you could get away with it and it would be as if it never happened.
Okay, yeah.
But I did get many, and I say many more invites to come to the Purple Elephant or other strip clubs with him. It wasn't the first time or the last time I had gotten an invite. As a matter of fact, one Halloween, there's a strip club here called the Pink Pony.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pink Pony is legendary. It's like where everybody goes, right? There's other clubs that everybody goes to. The Gold Club used to be a huge, famous, until everyone learned it was run by John Gotti. and now it's like a club for hire. You just like rent it out or whatever. We went to a party there one time with Scambadia.
We did.
So I ended up going to Pink Pony 2. was another location that
right,
they
well, there was like the east and west one or something, south?
South, north
yeah,
and
yeah,
south
yeah.
one. Yeah, so I ended up going
you
to the south
You and I went
one.
To that south one one time.
Did, yeah, but we went for the grand opening, didn't we, on Halloween?
It wasn't Halloween. This okay. was just one night.
Well, I went to one for Halloween, right? Okay. And it was like their grand opening, the grand opening week or whatever. And they had this big party and it was Halloween. And I went with a couple other people that we worked with. Mm-hmm. And he was there also because, of course, he was. Right. He had to be there. He's like, I don't know. Like, who's somebody who's always showing up on the red carpet that, you know, maybe they shouldn't be showing up on the red carpet? I don't know. I can't think of anybody. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, hangers on. Like, Andy Dick, you know, just shows up out of nowhere for no reason.
Yes.
And you're kind of like, well, he's famous, but should he be here? Probably not. So that was this guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, he's strip club famous, but should he be here? Probably not. But he was there on Halloween, if I remember correctly, with his wife. And there was also an odd interaction there. And at the time, I was with one of our coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked that coworker to kind of buddy up to me a little bit, like get a little close. Let's pretend so I don't have to
yeah.
deal with any weird questions or anything like that. And I remember that particular night evading any odd questions. But of course, when someone asks you, propositions you, for a threesome or whatever was intended, and then you just leave without saying anything, you do an Irish goodbye, got to go to the bathroom and never come back. Maybe she got the hint, you know, maybe that
think.
Was it. But you know,
I guess if you throw it out enough though, you know, there's going to be some takers.
I do believe this is true.
Right.
I do believe if you're a swinger, it's all about batting average.
It is, yeah.
It's like that
throw it out there.
John Anthony lifestyle has got mm-hmm. 100% closing rate or whatever. You know, if you're a swinger, you just don't know how many people are going to be receptive to your conversation unless it comes up in conversation and they say they're receptive. So if you're out there cold calling dicks to come to bed with you,
yes.
then it's really all about averages, isn't it?
Right.
You got to approach enough people that someone says yes. It's like that Seeking Sister Wife that I'm watching mm-hmm. right now.
Oh, you're still watching that?
Oh, God, it's just such a fascinating show. It's a fascinating show for one couple and one couple only. I mean, there are other couples that are fascinating. But there's two couples I'm kind of fascinated with. One is that Garrick guy who his wife is obviously and desperately trying to keep his attention, keep him married.
That's the one that you told me about how they flew down to the place with the younger girl
yes.
and her mother was there.
Her mother
okay,
showed
yeah,
up.
Okay, yeah.
okay. Now, so let me catch you up to speed
okay,
just
yeah,
real
please.
Quick. So Garrick on the show is married to a beautiful, was married to a beautiful woman who agreed because it was God's plan.
In quotation.
God told them, in quotations, God told them directly with his mouth, God's mouth, that they should have more wives. And she seems to be just going along with it. And Garrick is saying, you know, God told me one afternoon that I'm supposed to have multiple young, beautiful wives that don't speak my language.
Right.
Right. And it just was, it's so obvious to anybody that's watching this show that Garrick wants to get his dick wet. And this poor woman that he was married to is just going along with it because she loves Garrick. She thinks the world of Garrick and she doesn't want Garrick to leave. Well, guess what? After on season number two or whatever it was when we first got introduced to this couple, they got a divorce so he could legally marry his South American girlfriend and bring her back to the United States. That means she doesn't have rights to alimony, parental rights. I mean, so many reasons not to get a divorce, but she went along with it. She was crying at the divorce hearing.
Oh.
And it was taped for TLC.
Oh, God.
I felt so bad for this girl. But at some point, you got to say, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Get out.
Mm-hmm.
So that relationship falls apart. Within a month, he's dating, virtually dating, other beautiful, young South American women.
Yeah.
They pick one. They go down there. This woman is nothing like the other woman. She is like really just paying attention to Garrick. The first woman, the first Latin American woman, was at least into both of them.
Yeah.
And the ex-wife, now ex-wife, felt good that she really wanted to be in like a communal
right.
marriage.
Right, a sisterhood.
A sisterhood. A sister wife. They call
yes.
each other sister. It's so disturbing.
Yeah.
Sister. I know some people don't like the word moist. I don't like when you say sister when you're referring to another adult woman that's not blood related.
Yeah.
So anyway, or brother. It's just like, it's all a little bit disturbing. But anyway. So They go down there. They go to Mexico. They all meet in Mexico in this beautiful location. And Garrick's just desperately trying to get the ring on this woman's right. finger so he can get in bed with her. Well, it doesn't happen the first trip. So guess what he does a month later? He takes off by himself to go back down to be with this woman. And he leaves for a fucking month. And during that time, Danielle, who is the ex-wife, finds out she's pregnant.
What?
Now,
what?
Garrick is running around South America trying to get a marriage license so that he can marry his young, beautiful Latin American fiance.
Mm-hmm.
And he's barely talking to Danielle. He's not telling her anything. And so Danielle says to the camera, I don't even think they want me down there. I don't think this woman wants me down there.
Yeah, that's the way it seems.
So she decides to get on a plane, flies down there. I know. So she decides to go down there, right? If it was me, I'd call a divorce attorney. But nope, she goes down.
They're also already divorced.
Yes, they're divorced. They're not even married. It's now. Listen, I'm not saying marriage is right for everybody. The piece of paper doesn't mean a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah,
and that's perfectly okay. I don't care. It's 2024. No one gives a shit whether you're married or not. If you're together, you're together. If you're mm-hmm. not, you're not. There's good reasons to have a marriage license. There's other reasons you shouldn't, right? But if you have children and the life that you've built this entire time and the thing that's giving you legal cover is that marriage certificate, don't give it up. Don't give it up. But she did to please her fucking nudnik husband who uses God as an excuse to get more twing twang. And listen, I just got to say this. Just have an open marriage.
Yeah.
Just let him go fuck other people. This is not about God. This is about Garrick getting his fucking knocks off.
Rocks off, yeah.
So where we ended it, this last episode, is that Garrick is trying to, the people down in, I can't remember the country they're in, I think it's Brazil. The people down in Brazil found out that Garrick is on this TV show, and they found out that he has multiple wives, and they denied him a marriage certificate. Because they said it's illegal to be married to two people.
Picture in the stamp. Denied.
Denied. Denado. That's not even a Spanish word, but I made it up, and it sounds cool. And Danielle is now down there with him, has told them that she's pregnant. And you should have seen the look on this woman's face, the other woman, the Latin American woman. She was like, oh, shit. Like, you know, yeah. Now it's not going to be about me and Garrick.
Mm-hmm.
This woman is just, it seems, it appears. And also, this could be TV editing. You never know, right? But it appears that this woman just wants Garrick to herself.
Uh-huh.
And Danielle is rightfully upset and worried and concerned. I don't know how these things work. I really don't.
I don't know either.
But now let's circle back so this all makes sense in the conversation.
Okay.
The second couple that I'm interested in is a couple where the wife is encouraging. And when I say encouraging, I mean get out there, little buddy. Like a soccer mom on Saturday afternoon. She's like, get out there, little buddy. Get your dick wet.
Yeah. Time to go.
Time to go find some pussy. Come on, let's go. She's approaching other women on his behalf. Yeah, he is like a child. I don't know how he survives in life, but he's like a child. He has to have everything done for him. She folds his clothes. She makes him long, you know, all this other stuff. And she goes and she finds chicks for him to fuck. It's really weird. So that's the other couple that I'm interested in, because what we were just talking about, batting averages.
Yes.
She says the same thing. It's about batting averages. You got to get out there and talk to enough women that someone will eventually take you up on the offer. And I thought to myself, it's so much fucking work. It's so much work. For what? For an extremely jealous spouse that's going to, clearly it's going to blow up? These things don't work. You know how I know this? Look at the other fucking TLC show that's on, Sister Wives. None of them are married anymore. It took was 9 years, and it all fell apart for that guy. And God bless America, because he's an asshole. So anyway, there's your TLC update.
Yeah,
for the
okay,
moment.
Good. Thank you. How are the Little Johnsons?
Little Johnsons are not interesting this year, I got to say. It's like very formulaic. It's a little uninteresting. So I'm just kind of, I listen to it in the background.
In the background,
but
yeah.
I know that something interesting is coming, because one of the little people, the little children, is pregnant with her average-sized boyfriend's child.
Oh.
And last we heard, they had broken up. And now, this episode coming up, they have to tell her parents that she's pregnant. And I just can't wait to see
up.
How that goes.
Yeah.
Well, they quote-unquote were broken up. But obviously they weren't broken up, because he's fucking her and she got pregnant. That's the other thing, Is it like, is anybody worried you're going to get pregnant or STDs? Or like, does anybody, is anybody thinking about this? Now, if I was to say yes to the pony threesome or the elephant, the, you know, purple elephant threesome, I wouldn't be so concerned because I think that that woman was probably out of birthing age. But is anybody concerned about what's going to happen with all of this?
Yeah, you should take precautions. Then again, they're on a TV show. So
well, this
what's
is
the
true.
Fun in that?
Yeah, if you get a...
What's the fun in precautions?
Yeah, that's true. And if you get pregnant, that's just a spinoff show.
Exactly.
Yeah, my seven yep. little threesome Johnstons. And that's a show I'll tune into for
yes,
fucking sure.
100%.
You know, I got your back, TLC. Go for it. You keep sending the United States down some morality fucking pitfall, and I'll follow you right behind going, yeah! TLC, the Jerry Springer of channels.
He's riding yeah. like a horse.
Go, go. MILF yeah! Manor. Yeah, we need more MILF Manor where you fuck your son or whatever it is.
That was bad.
It's on for season two.
Oh, it is.
Who's watching this? Fuck you. If you're watching MILF Manor, turn off my show. I'm not interested in knowing you. That's too far. You took it too far, too TLC. Far. My seven little threesome Johnsons, I'll take that all day long. But MILF Manor, where you're fucking your best friend's son, that is weird.
Yeah.
That's just weird. All right, we'll be back.
I know you're already on your phone, so pull up Instagram and follow us at The Commercial Break, and then follow us on TikTok at TCB Podcast. Done? Perfect. Thank you. Since you're at the ready, why not text us hello at 212-433-3TCB? Or if you've got some drama in your life, a little fun story, or anything really, we're desperate for content. Call and leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. And don't forget to check out tcbpodcast.com because that's got it all. Speaking of having it all, let's listen to our fabulous sponsors and get back to the commercial break.
Okay. Excuse me. Jeez.
Excuse
didn't mean
you.
To cough in your ear, everybody. I really apologize. I wanted to ask you, have you been keeping up with like the Madonna concert?
A little bit.
Drama?
I've heard a little bit about her going on late, right?
There's like a class action lawsuit.
Oh.
By people.
Wow.
Saying that they misled them. You know, the ticket show was 8 o'clock and she didn't start till midnight or whatever it was. That lady is notoriously fucking late to every show. It's insane.
That's...
And I gotta say, I think I'm on the side of the ticket holder here. Like, I know Madonna's older. She got to get prepared. She's got to do her vocal training. But do you think it takes 4 hours to do your vocal warm-ups? I mean, you've been doing this ahead.
On
yeah.
that.
Like, okay, get started at yes. 3 o'clock in the afternoon instead of 9 o'clock at yes. night for your show.
I know. Well, speaking of, you know, we just did the Riverbeat Music Festival, Jeff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the Fugees were there, Lauryn Hill.
Oh, tell me so about
this.
So
we were all thinking, you know, how late is it going to be?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's going to happen?
She was prompt.
And blah, blah, blah. 20 minutes after.
20 minutes late?
Yeah, yeah.
Not bad.
No.
I could, that's yes. perfectly expected.
Yes.
I go to any
and it was a
concert.
Great show.
Yeah. The only concert that I've ever been to where it started exactly on time, Taylor Swift.
Mm.
That's the only show. Because they have a big fucking countdown clock, so you can't be
yeah,
late.
Yeah,
it's part
true.
Of the show,
right?
Plus, Taylor knows what's doing. She's got to make the
yeah.
next show. She wants some sleep. She's got to
yes.
you know, get it. Let's do it. Let's get it over with. Let's go to the next show. And that's professionalism at the highest order. Because when you have, like where we were in LA, when you have... I don't know, 80,000 people sitting there waiting for you and they're all getting wound up about
yeah.
seeing you. You need to be on time because that energy's got to go somewhere and it can turn real fucking quick. And you don't want a bunch of, you know, 12-year-old girls trampling themselves or getting 12-year-old girls, first of all, they can't be out till 3 a.m. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Their parents brought them there. Or they went there, but they got dropped off or whatever. You got to be prompt. Be respectful of your audience, who they are. And she was. Astrid dragged me to that fucking, who are those guys? The Jonas Brothers.
Oh.
She dragged me to that Jonas Brothers show. They were on time. I gotta say.
Yeah, like it's courtesy to the people who paid money to go see you.
Thank you. I go to like, I don't know, you go to a Fish show or a Pearl Jam show or, you know, whoever, you know, Music Midtown, Shaky Knees, whatever you're going to. Mm-hmm. A festival like that, you gotta be prompt.
You're on they're on a schedule.
Yeah, you're on a schedule. And you can get fined big money or lose big money if you're not on that schedule. So in that sense, I think there's a lot of pressure to get you there on time and cut off the set on time and all that. But I fully expect there's going to be an hour delay from the ticket time. Ticket time says 8. I expect they're going on at 9. Mm-hmm. So, and I know that. It's built into my brain. Midnight? Not built into my brain.
Yeah.
1 o'clock in the morning? That's fucking insane. If you're starting
she's
at
going
1 o'clock
on
in the morning.
At 1 o'clock in the morning?
She's going on at like midnight, like 11:45. Or I think I read somewhere she went on at 1 in the morning. But I believe that was the concert in Rio de Janeiro.
Okay.
Did you see that?
Mm-mm.
She gave a free concert on the beach at Copacabana Beach.
Okay.
She gave a free concert there with the help of the city or Rio de Janeiro, whatever. 1 million people showed up. 1 million. Now, I know if you're going to do it in any city and get 1 million people to show up, it's going to be Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's like 600 million people that live in that one city.
Right.
But that's fucking insane.
That is insane.
1 million people come to see you and I can't imagine how big your head must be after that. You're like, holy shit, I just got 1 million people to show up to my front door and listen to me perform.
And hence, now that's why she doesn't care about being late.
I think that's it. I think she knows that people who like
her, what I want to do.
People who like her, they love her so much that I think she can get away with basically murder, right? I think that's kind of true. But I still believe that you need to be somewhat respectful of the audience.
I agree.
An hour late, okay, we get it. You're back there doing whatever. You got to meet and greet celebrities. You got to do your vocal warm yoga, tantric sex, whatever Madonna's doing back there. But you got to show up within a relatively decent amount of time. And these people who bring in this class action lawsuit say we had babysitters. We had plans.
Right.
We have work the next day. We cannot be out until 3 a.m. because you decide.
Are they bringing it the lawsuit against like Ticketmaster or just everybody?
There's an old saying, when you sue everyone, right? So when you sue anybody you think could ever be potentially liable for this happening. So it's like management, Ticketmaster, Live Nate, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And Madonna herself, of course. And so, I don't know, I'm interested to see how this one plays
exactly.
out. Because I think if I'm a juror, I'm saying, yeah, I get your point. Now, I'm not going to award you $200 million because Madonna was late by an hour, two, three, four. But I'll give you your money back, a couple $1,000s for, you know, the inconvenience. But enough of those people get together and do that, then that's a big deal. And you get a
that would be industry changing.
Yeah, I think so. And now, speaking of industry changing, Congress is looking into Live Nation and Ticketmaster as monopolies. And I think this time has come. We did this back in the 90s. Pearl Jam was the only band that would publicly say Ticketmaster is a monopoly and they are bad for live entertainment. They took a stance. They went up to Congress. They talked about it back when Pearl Jam was like the number one band in the world. And everybody said, you're never going to play this town again without Ticketmaster. What are you doing? Why are you standing out? And the truth is, they lost that battle because 3 years later, they were back with Ticketmaster because that's the way that Ticketmaster monopolizes this industry and charges ridiculous fees and makes you wait in line, then resells tickets for thousands of dollars more than they should have originally been for.
Yeah.
Now they have this surge pricing or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's all insanity, right? They're trying to act like concert tickets are airplane tickets and, you know, the more demand, the higher you should pay, which I get it. You know, supply and demand, but it really ruins it for everybody who is not in the upper middle class or millionaires. The divide between the have and the have-nots gets further, and Ticketmaster is one of the companies that is putting a wedge in between those. Kids want to go see music. Adults want to go see. Everybody wants to go see live music.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. And the truth is that live music in 2024 is starting to take a little bit of a hit. Not as many concerts are being sold out. Many people are having to cancel shows because of poor ticket sales, because I think people are sick of it. It was all fun and games and shits and giggles in 2022 and 2023 when all that pent-up demand was there. But now people are like, I don't know if I want to go pay $78 to go see the commercial break at some comedy club. Do you know what I'm saying?
Are we going to use Ticketmaster, do you think?
I think we have to. Or maybe not anymore. I don't know. I think that's part of the gig. I don't think we have, I think no, it's Live Nation. I don't think we have any other choice. I don't think we have any. I don't know that for sure. But I believe, having done some research about a few of these clubs that we would play, is that's part of the gig. That's who you pay. But I would love it if you could just go to the Comedy Club website, buy it directly, and then save everybody the save your $50 in ticketing fees. I mean, what could we possibly charge? $5, $10, $20, $30 for a ticket? I think $30.
I mean, we might have to pay.
Well, we're going to pay in some way, shape, or form. Proverbially or actually, we're going to pay in some way, shape, or form. That's for sure. But I mean, how much could we charge? $30 a ticket? Okay, that sounds reasonable. $30 a ticket for a couple hours of, you know, lowbrow entertainment. $30 sounds like a great price for me. Dial me in. Keep me posted. But then you add on all the service fees.
Well, I
know. And ends up being $70. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're using one of the big ticket brokerages, right? Like Ticketmaster. And that's what they are. They're just brokers. They're just in the middle between you and I. And they have the technology and the platforms to make that work. And I applaud them for making that technology so good. Because it is so good. But when you charge exorbitant fees and drive ticket prices higher because of manipulative practices, it makes everybody dislike the experience. So your wonderful technology really gets overshadowed by the fact that you're highway robbing everybody by the time they get to the continue screen pressing a payment. It's ridiculous. And so now that Congress is looking into this, I really hope that they can do something about this. I don't know what it is. Break up the companies, allow for other companies to get in and use technology for a fee or whatever it happens to be. I think they need to do something about it. And I saw a meme the other day and I thought it was great. It said Congress is looking into Ticketmaster and Live Nation, and it was like a, you know, congressman or whatever, you know, like this. And then on the bottom, it was one of the guys from Pearl Jam, and it's like, Pearl Jam, be here, like, and the guy, he had his hands like, what took you so long?
Yeah.
And I agree with that. I think things need to change for sure.
I agree with you.
Jeff uses Live Nation and Ticketmaster. Because he has to, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, you kind of have to. There's a lot of different companies, too, that fall under the umbrella of Ticketmaster. So, yeah.
I'll tell a story, because I always do. Story time with Brian. Everybody calm down. Get your chai
tea. Settle
in. Get your chai tea, and let's have a conversation. When I was a teenager, I met a guy at a restaurant, and he owned what is now one of the very popular, visible ticket brokerages. We're talking about places like StubHub, Tix, you know, those places that resell tickets. And he owned it, and it was a little shop here in Atlanta, office in Buckhead, and they would basically broker any popular tickets across the nation, but they were really focused on what was happening here in Atlanta. So here's how it worked. He would pay people to go stand in line, because that's when you had to stand in line. Or pick up the phone and call, use his credit card to buy tickets, and they would get a payment for doing that. They would get whatever it was. Let's just call it $10 an hour, for however long it took them, or a flat fee, $50 a ticket, $20 a ticket. They would bring the tickets back, and he would send out, you know, 50, 60 scalpers to go out and stand in line. And it was expected, yay, it was anticipated, that these brokers would have a certain amount of the business. Let's call it 2 or 3% of the tickets in the room would be owned by brokers. Mm-hmm. They would then resell those tickets. At that time, you would actually have to call them, ask them if they had these tickets available or they could get these tickets. And they had a network of other brokers around the country and you could get tickets to them. And they would charge you whatever the going rate was. But it was never, and I mean never, not in all the years I knew this guy, it was never more than 100% of the ticket value, unless it was like the Super Bowl or, you know, the National College Football Championship or whatever. This guy made lots of money. And in my opinion, he was a stand-up dude. He was just found a way to make a little extra cash for rich people who really wanted to pay extra to go see the concert. That was it, right? And then, of course, there were the scalpers on the streets who would sell the tickets that they had bought and all this other stuff to make a couple bucks. That's always been going on. Ticketmaster and Live Nation have now, made this into an industrial practice. And now Ticketmaster is one of the largest brokerages out
there. I know. It's so crazy to think about that.
The secret about all of this, for you out there listening that may not know this, is that artists will also be in, often be in cahoots with Ticketmaster and Live Nation, and they will share, they will dedicate a ticket, a portion of their tickets for what they call resale. Here's how it goes. In the contract, I'm just going to use Toby Keith as an example. I don't know that he does this, but let's say Toby Keith. Toby Keith signs a contract with a promoter that's going to pay him to do a show. And in that contract, the promoter gives Toby Keith 2,000 of the 70,000 tickets available, or 10,000 of the 70,000 tickets available, whatever it is. And Toby Keith then sells those tickets right back to Live Nation, where Live Nation or Ticketmaster will put them on their open brokerage site. We've all seen it, official certified resale tickets in the red dot. And then they're 180, 200, 300% more than the other tickets around them. But because the show is getting sold out and he has the really good tickets, they resell them. Then they give a cut. They sell them on consignment. They give a cut back to the artist. That is the sad and terrible truth of this, is that the artists are also now in on the game. And my belief is not because they necessarily want to be. Of course, that's more money in their pocket, but because they have to be. That's the way the game is played. You want to maximize how much money you take out instead of playing a really good show at a reasonable price and making $100,000 in a night. I can make $180,000 in a night if I just sell some of my tickets back. And that's what happens time and time again. And if you're not the, if you are the only one do it, I'm not saying Toby Keith does this. I have no fucking clue. But if Toby Keith is the only one doing this, then we can point to Toby Keith and say, you're the bad guy. But he's not. Almost everybody does it, because that's part and parcel of the promoter game right now. This drives tickets artificially through the roof. And now with surge pricing, it drives them up even further. And that's why people are paying $25,000 to sit in the nosebleed seats at a Taylor Swift show. It's fucking insane. It's fucking insane. And I understand Taylor can only play so many shows, and there's many more people that want to see them than seats available. I get all that. And I'm not saying Taylor does this either. I have no idea. But it's all a part of artificially inflating the value of the tickets. And that's why you pay so much fucking money to see a live show these days. And everything from the comedy clubs to the biggest of the Taylor Swift events are handled by Live Nation or Ticketmaster. It's one of the few that have the technology and the ability to handle the traffic and get people in seats in a way that makes sense. But with those two companies working together to corner the market, 99% of the venues are booked and sold by them.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, all dirty little secret number three, Ticketmaster and Live Nation are often the promoters of the show. They promote it. They manage it. They make the money. They resell the tickets. They give you ticket fees. I don't even know.
Involved in everything. Yeah.
So here's what I'm saying. All I'm saying is tickets on sale soon to our live shows. $30,000 a pop. 40 seats available at Yuckles Comedy Club.
Old Yuckles.
In Jacksonville, Florida. Can't wait to see you.
Story time with Brian.
I love that guy. Bill. Bill was his name. I loved him.
Is it past tense?
Yeah. Well, not he's dead. He moved.
Oh.
He sold the company, like a lot of, he sold the company to a larger ticket broker.
Probably Ticketmaster.
I know who it was. I'm not going to say it, but yes, essentially, somewhere along the line, Ticketmaster probably was involved. I'm not 100% sure, but yeah.
Yeah.
But Bill moved to California. When he did, I kind of lost touch with him.
Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah. But man, did he get me a lot of good concert tickets.
I bet he did.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Yeah. He would oftentimes just give me free tickets to the shows that weren't selling.
Yeah.
You know, the shitty shows that no one wanted to go see. I'd have a ticket. He'd give them to me across the bar. But a few times he got me into some really good shows in really good seats for almost nothing. It was like,
nice.
He was such a good guy. Such a good guy. Anyway, that's my story and I'm sticking to it. All right. TCBpodcast.com. That's where you go. You find out more information about Chrissy and I, all the show notes, all the links to our guests. Thanks, Mo Gilligan, this week's guest. Go check him out. Tuesday's episode. We'd love it if you would give him some love and support, even though he doesn't need it. He's blowing up everywhere. So good for Mo. I love Mo. Don't say no to Mo. Gotta go. Okay. Or you can get your free TCB bumper sticker by going to the Contact Us page on the website, drop-down menu, I want my free sticker. Give us your address and away we will send it. Most importantly, 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Text us. Let us know how you're feeling. Ask us a question. Talk about the show. You want to come to one of our live events in the Southeast? Let us know you'd like to come and where you're at, because we would love to. You know, we're going to tour every city in the entire Southeast. So eventually we'll get there just to pay our Ticketmaster fees.
Yeah.
So dial that up. 212-433-3TCB. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas, all that stuff. You know how to do it. At the commercial break on Instagram, TCB podcast on TikTok, and YouTube.com/TheCommercialBreak. All right. Well, Chrissy, what an eventful episode of the of TCB.
Was,
I mean, that's the best of the best. I can't get any better than that. All right, so I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
I will say best to you.
Best to you.
And I'll tell you best to you out there in the podcast universe. We just love you to death. So until next time, Chrissy and I always say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.
I get out.